He is my fortress, my deliverer, my father, my friend, indeed.
Well, good morning, you beloved community. So glad to see many of you here today. So glad for your presence. If you are visiting with us, of course, a huge welcome to you. We hope that you feel especially and warmly welcome today. Thanks for your presence. Those of you who are gathered online already, thanks for joining us that way too. For those of you who will watch later, I know there are several, appreciate your presence as well. We have a wonderful day planned today. We have a blessing. We have a baptism to come. We have all sorts of wonderful things planned this morning. So grateful for your presence today. That certainly helps, of course. Would you take a couple of moments, fill out some of these cards that you see, the blue ones, to let us know that you are indeed here. If you're online, type in your name. Let us know that you're watching that way. Those yellow ones to send out some encouragement to some folks. And the pink ones, of course, if you have a prayer request or celebration that you want to share with our shepherding team, that is good. You can place those in the offering tray a little bit later in our service. Well, I'm going to light our Christ candle as we are accustomed to doing. The Christ candle, the light before us, reminds us, of course, that Christ is indeed in us and among us. And now would you stand, please? Would you receive this call to worship? This is from Psalm 99. Let's remain standing for the three songs that follow. Psalm 99. The Lord reigns. Let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. Let's worship together.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going. No more crying there. We shall ever move a stone. O Zion, Zion, I long thy gates to see. O Zion, Zion, when shall
right, I want to invite up the Vaughn family, please. Whomever of you would like to join me up front, you are certainly welcome to do so. Y'all can just gather right here, Jessica. Y'all can come this way. Yeah. Nora, you can come this way. Yeah. Oh, and all of you, you can come this way too. Thank you, Nora. Well, not that I have to remind Jessica or Alex or any of you this, but in late September 2021, Jessica texted me this. I'm questioning whether we chose the right path about pursuing adoption, but I am hanging on because I'm trying to trust God more. That's what she told me just a day or two before she received a phone call where baby Megan would soon join her family. And we all celebrated and rejoiced in that. We had been praying as a congregation for several years for that. What a gift that was. And then she came. The day after Thanksgiving, just 2022, I got a call from Alex and Jessica. And they said, "We have something to tell you. We have the opportunity to adopt another child, Megan's sister, and we think we're going to do it. What do you think?" And we said, "Yes, sounds great." But I think Nora was the determining factor on that one, if I remember correctly. And thus began a much quicker journey for a second child to come, Elizabeth Joy Vaughn. And correct me if I'm wrong, but the prayer group, which meets in the back prayer room over there, which consists, I think, of Jesse and Mercy and Ruth and several others, perhaps, they said when you went in there to tell them the news or you brought Lizzie in there, they said, "You have received a double portion of God's blessing." Is that right? I love that. I love that, a double portion of God's blessing. That's great. And we affirm that. We see that that is true. So, Jessica and Alex, we honor you for doing this again, for trusting God once again in this. And Nora, we are so thankful that you said yes, not only to a new baby coming in, but saying yes to God and being entrusted with a new child. For grandparents, you are doing this again. We know that you have walked intimately with them for years in this. So thank you especially for your assistance and your presence in that. What a gift that that is. I'm thankful for that. Well, I think that Nora wanted to say something. Is this correct? And then if one of the two of you or a grandparent wants to say something, you certainly can. If not, that's okay. Okay, I'm gonna give you the microphone.
So I did name her. I remember that because I know that she's my little sister now, and I know that she was born on Thanksgiving, so her middle name is Joy, because it's another day to be joyful.
Nora, thank you so much. Would one of you want to say something as well?
Nora said it just perfectly, and I was trying to plan what I would say, but the words that are coming to me right now is that this family has made these decisions easy and has made God's path clear. So we always know that we've had your support, and it was so easy to say yes. So thanks to each of you.
Thank you. Well, we want to do two things here. One is want to speak a verbal blessing, read a verbal blessing over Elizabeth Joy, which also encompasses your entire family. And here's what I love about this church. It really never pays close attention to my instructions. I said the Vaughn family, and here we have several dozen up here, so thank you for being part of her family. What a gift that is. So I want to read this blessing, and then I want to offer a prayer of blessing over baby Lizzie as well. So, Elizabeth Joy Vaughn, would you receive this blessing today? First, from Psalm 139. For you, God, created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. I love that verse for many reasons, and this one specifically because Lizzie was from another womb, and now God has given a new mom and a new dad to you. What a gift and an honor that is. And the second one comes from Luke 18. You know the story well, perhaps. People were bringing infants to him that he might touch them and bless them. And when the disciples saw it, they sternly ordered them not to do it. But Jesus called for them to stop and said, "Let the children come to me and do not stop them. For it is such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will not enter it." Baby Lizzie has not ever been rejected. She has been welcomed with all the fullness of hospitality before she even came to your house. So that's our blessing for you, Elizabeth, today. I'm going to give that to you, please. Thank you. And now let's pray together. If some of you are back here, the extended Vaughn family, you can kind of circle around here if you want. And we will pray this over the Vaughns and baby Lizzie. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this precious gift, wonderful in presence, unrivaled in surprise, and joy in the challenge of raising another human being. So we pray this. Please bless this child, Elizabeth Joy. Place your hand of goodness around her life and guard her as she grows. We ask for her protection from all harm and that you will guide her always in righteous paths. Teach her in due time that she is deeply and wholly and fully and forever loved, first by you and then by so many of us. Bless this child, God, and also would you bless her parents, Alex and Jessica, that you have given to her to be dad and mom. They've welcomed a whole new person into their lives and home, and so we pray for peace and grace and love to abound. Bless also her grandparents, all four of them, as well as Nora and Megan. We as a congregation affirm the goodness in all of this, and therefore we entrust Lizzie to you and into your hands, just as you have entrusted her to us. Thank you, God, for this new life. We praise you and thank you for what you have done and for what you will continue to do. For it's in Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
This morning's scripture reading is from Matthew 17. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, And from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about this vision until after the Son of Man has been risen from the dead."
Okay, our Roots friends, you can head to your table in the back if you would like to be a part of that today. Miss Brandy is on her way. You can join her there. While they go, let's pray again together, please. O God, you are our God, and earnestly this day we seek you. Would you pour forth through me the gift of preaching? Would you give us eyes to see and ears to hear? For it's through Christ we pray. Amen. When it comes to a text like today's, you are not alone if you feel a bit of unease in its company. The account of Jesus' transformation from olive brown skin to blinding beam pouring from his face to clothes jam-packed with light to back again in normal body seems bizarre, if not downright impossible to our modern minds. We might as well be on planet Mars watching aliens do alien things. So strange is this episode. I'm not sure your stance on miracles or extraordinary, inexplicable occurrences, biblical or otherwise, but I bet that at least some of us here, when we read texts like these, are left with a few prickly questions, such as, how could this be? Does the story require a suspension of our minds? Do we have to lay aside intellectual honesty in order to give credit to it? Do I have to be a child to see it? Or at least a fan of Marvel films to picture it with verifiable certainty? The best we can tell is that something happened up there on that mountain. And whatever it was, Peter, James, and John were probably relieved when Jesus told them to not breathe a word of what they had seen until after the Son of Man had been resurrected. They were probably relieved because how do you explain that? If the bright lights of Transfiguration had happened yesterday, February 18th, 2023, and you and me and one other person were the hikers, the three hikers instead of them, it's not the worst idea to sit on that story for a bit, lest our friends and family feel concerned or scared, then tell us to stop being silly, and then if we didn't stop, start developing intervention strategies. Best to keep it quiet. Something happened up there on that mountain. And whatever it was, Peter, James, and John did, for all we know, sit on the story until Jesus was raised from the dead. If Jesus really did get up from his grave, then the luminous high-altitude affair would not seem so ridiculous after all. When the story finally did come out, it was so striking that it became one of the most widespread narratives in the early church. Our ancestral sisters and brothers knew the transformative legend by word and by heart, and they clung to it, they wrestled with it, they spoke of it often to one another. We know this to be the case because three of the four gospel writers found it crucial enough to include it in their works. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all have versions. I say versions because there are detailed differences between the three. For example, Luke says the reason Jesus goes up on the mountain is to pray. Matthew and Mark don't mention that. Nor do they tell us what Moses and Elijah and Jesus discussed in their open-air meeting, but Luke does. Mark, meanwhile, comments on Jesus' clothes more than the others, describing that the robes, quote, became far wider than any bleach on the face of the earth could ever make them. Mark also states that Peter gets terrified when he sees the fabled trio in conversation, and that's why he makes his "let's build a shelter" comment. But Matthew and Luke tell us that Peter, James, and John are not afraid until the ominous cloud covers them like a casket. Matthew, for his part, he's the only one that reports Jesus' softer side, coming over to his disciples when he notices how frightened they are, bending down, touching them on the shoulder as they cower on the earth's floor. "Come on, don't be afraid." Because our Christian ancestors carried the story with them, we get to carry it with us, and we do. In the church calendar, that long looping stretch between Advent and December through the end of the season after Pentecost in November, this same story shows up every single year, a day that we call Transfiguration Sunday, which is, surprise, today. Every year we return to it, signifying its weighty status, its position, its standing. It also serves as a pivot point between what we are leaving, Epiphany, when we awed in amazement that the Christ of God really did become flesh on Christmas Day to make his dwelling among us, and what we are heading toward, Lent, that mapless wilderness where all who dare to follow Jesus must go. Transfiguration, then, is the hinge between wonder and uncertainty, between the beautiful star of Bethlehem and the dark night of the soul. We'll talk more about Lent starting next Sunday. The calendar is all well and good, but we are left with a slight problem, namely, what in the world is the story about? What does it propose or suggest? What does the Transfiguration, with all its resplendent and alarming radiance, mean? Because that's the real question many of us want to know. Why is it here? What's it have to do with us? Dig just a little. You don't have to dig too deep. And you can find lots of interpretations. You'll find good ones, you'll find not so good ones, you'll find ones that make you feel warm and cozy about your choices, you'll find ones that challenge the socks off your beliefs. For those of us who have been around this story for a long time, or for those of us who get to preach it year after year, then you're probably aware that options for interpretation abound. They include, but are not limited to, that Jesus is the only one left because he has surpassed Moses and Elijah, who represent the old law and the old prophets. Another, take the journey on the mountain trails and find your own new spiritual wardrobe up there before heading back down. That fresh set of clothes should keep you shiny and warm during the forthcoming lean times. Or, as a third option, laugh at Peter's expense, but then learn your own lesson by knowing when not to say a word. While there may be some nuggets of truth in those explanations, what grabs our attention this morning is the cloud. That intense haze that descends not as a baptismal dove, but as an inescapable fortress, heavy and forceful and unsolvable. What must it have been like to be trapped inside of that? This is my friend Nico. He and I are partners at Reach to Teach, our Wednesday afternoon tutoring and mentoring program here at Southwest Central. Nico will typically bring his homework with him, and after I graciously permit him to beat me in Uno a few times, we'll get to work. A few weeks ago, it was science. He had to draw an ecosystem found in his neighborhood, draw it three times, in fact. What it looked like in the afternoon, what it looked like at night, what it looked like in the morning. He chose to draw the grassy field just across the street from here, which is next door to where he lives. Afternoon, sun shining, flowers growing. Night, moon, stars, and cats. Morning, fog. He explained to me that he knows it gets foggy in the morning because that's where he goes for his morning walks with his dog, Chewy. It's hard to draw fog. Did you know that? But Nico did an excellent job at it, all calm and peaceful. The sun had not yet burned the fog away, the neighborhood not yet fully awake. A soft gray, lightly shaded touch with the angled tilt of his pencil. If that had been the serene scene that Peter, James, and John came across up there on the mountain, everything might have been just fine. But unfortunately, it's the exact opposite. The scary and blanketing cloud petrifies them, obscuring all vision and all sense of meaning. While they are trembling violently on the ground, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that the last thing they are thinking about is, I wonder what this cloud is alluding to. What kind of wisdom should I learn from this experience? My guess is that the only thing that's running through their minds is that they are about to die. Which seems just about right for most encounters with God in Scripture, especially when mountains or clouds are involved. When Moses climbed Mount Sinai to be with God in Exodus 24, a menacing cloud overtook him, and to the Israelites below, it looked like a raging fire consuming the top of a mountain. Surely Moses did not survive that. When Elijah fled to the mountains in 1 Kings 19, gale-force winds and earthquakes and infernos exploded around him, followed by an aftershock of sheer silence. So piercingly quiet, in fact, that Elijah had to hide his face, for he was about to meet with God. When Isaiah was alone in the temple, God burst in on him, shaking foundations and pillars and walls, and Isaiah himself to the core. When a smoking cloud swamped the room, Isaiah believed he had met his end. "Woe is me," he cried out. And when Ezekiel was living as an exile, he had a vision of God, a disturbing visual encounter that involved windstorms and fires and creatures that looked nothing like any animal we'd ever find at our local zoo. Ezekiel, no surprise, fell face down on the ground at the sight of it all, and from there he heard God speak. Given their familiarity with their ancestral stories, Peter, James, and John know that they have come face to cloud face with the Almighty. Who can stand before God? That's why we find them on the ground too, rolled into a tight ball, hands covering their heads. So harrowing is this convergence. It's also a holy convergence, for God is present, as close as divinely as possible, an encircling, an enveloping, an encompassing. It's also merciful, for Peter, James, and John are not wished off to their death. It's also meaningful, for the encounter in the cloud with God is what is most vital at this point. Scholars will tell you, and rightly so, to read what is prior to your text and what's following your text in order to get a broader context of what's going on. Here's what's happening before the story. Here's what's happening after. Before the mountain, Peter's confession and Jesus' prediction of his death. After the mountain, a healing and a rebuke. Where it's been, where it's going. It's good advice, and I follow it myself when writing sermons. When it comes to soul work, though, the risk in overanalyzing the before and the after is in missing the center itself. The encounter with God in the cloud is what is most vital at this point. The clouded experience is the imperative. The surrounding divine that brings you to your knees is the principal meaning for now. Your task is to focus on what's right there in front of you, even if you have to cover your face. Stay here. Listen to whatever it is that God may or may not say. Scary as it may be to do business with God, be that on a mountain or in a closet or in a vast and lonely wilderness, you cannot rush past it. You cannot run from it. You must pay attention. And if what you sense is disorientation, confusion, or fear, or that your intellectual honesty is out of whack, that is okay. We can get to that. It's God's presence that matters most in this instance. Harrowing, holy, merciful, meaningful, near. The truth is that we have got our own transformative and transfigurative work to do as a congregation and as individuals, for no one can see God and not be changed. But we have been given a good start, hearing God's voice speak from the cloud as we have. This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. That is Jesus, whom we now see in a new light. No one needs a physical cloud for all the befuddlements that general life can provide, of course. But we have the beloved one of God who will walk with us and go before us and will not leave us, not for a second. He is the same one who will find you as you are, touch your shoulder, and say, "Come on, time to go. Don't be afraid." And together we can say or we can type, "Amen and amen." Let's stand as we worship on this mountain together.
We shall assemble on the mountain. We shall assemble at the throne with humble hearts into his presence. We bring an offering of song, glory and honor and dominion unto the Lamb, unto the King. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We sing the song of the redeemed. We shall We shall assemble at the throne with humble hearts into his presence. We bring an offering of song, glory and honor and dominion unto the Lamb, unto the King. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We sing the song of the redeemed. Glory and honor and dominion unto the Lamb, unto the King. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We sing the
So I want to invite our friend and brother, Jason Rolak, to join me up here. Jason is going to get baptized this morning. We'll talk more about that when we're actually in the hopefully warm water. It was a little bit iffy a few hours ago, but we'll see, and we'll make it if it's not. So Jason, you're going to come up with me, and Jeff Waltman's going to come upstairs with me. I'm not going to be available and come back down dry and all that stuff before we share communion together. And so if one of you would like to come speak about the bread, the cup, and the pray for that and the offering while we're up there and still coming back down, hopefully I'll be back down by the family matters. But while we go up there, we have several songs to sing. So Andrea, come on up here. And let's worship, continue in worship together.
All right, let's sing in celebration. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Though my best thought by day and by night, walking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Though my great father and I thy true son, thou in me dwelling and I with thee one. Riches I need not, nor man's empty praise. Thou my inheritance now and always. Thou and thou only first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright and sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler. Oh.
preach the word to all the world. The Lord has said, go preach the word to all the world. If I walk in heaven's light, shun the wrong and do the right, I know
You guys want to come on up front and be ready to welcome our new brother?
Do we need to bring the microphone up? Do we need to bring the microphone up?
Yes.
Check one, two. Okay, who wants to bet if it's warm or not? You put something on that? Okay. All right. We will get used to it for sure. Well, this is our friend and our brother, Jason Rolak. If you have not had the privilege and the honor of spending time with Jason quite yet, I hope that you will soon. Jason is a great joy and a complete honor to be around. Jason has been coming to this congregation for about the last year or so. He's good friends with Nelson, whom we love, and Craig, whom we love, and Chad, who's out in the lobby, and we love him too. We are a much better congregation because of Jason's presence among us. I've gotten to spend several times with Jason outside of this church building. Just last week, he permitted me to come to his place where he spends his days and have lunch with him and Craig and Chad. And that was about the greatest honor I think I've ever had, this place to do that. I'm so thankful for that. Jason also, whenever we're together or whenever we're driving or whatnot, he'll ask me some of the most profound theological questions that I have zero answers to. But we wrestle through those nevertheless, and I'm so thankful that Jason's mind and his heart think about these things. What a gift that is. So we're up here because just this last Sunday, Jason comes up to me and said, "Sarge, I want to get baptized." And I said, "That's great. When do you want to do it?" And he said, "The next time we meet." And I said, "Let's do it." So here we are today. So I'm going to give Jason some time if you want to share with the congregation what led to this moment and to this time. And then after you speak, I'll share a few more words, and then we'll baptize you. Mm-hmm.
I would like to get baptized so I could go to heaven, and I also got baptized so where ghosts won't haunt me. Stay away from unclean evil spirits.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Jason. I appreciate that. Thank you. When we were in here just getting ready for now, I asked him if he wanted to say anything. He said, "I most certainly do, because I want to let God hear what I have to say." So thank you for sharing that. So our story today in the Transfiguration, in the cloud we heard something similar. It said, "This is my child whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Listen to him." It should sound familiar because, as maybe some of you remember, at Jesus' baptism, that exact same voice came over the loudspeakers from above. "This is my son, my beloved. I love him. He is my chosen one. With him, I am well pleased." So it's at that baptism that brings us to this one today, Jason, that as you go under and as you come back, may this be a cloud of witnesses to tell you that you are indeed God's beloved son. That God cares for you, that God will always care for you, that God loves you deeply.
Yes, Sarge, there is one other thing.
Okay.
My grandmother and my aunt is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted them to see this and hear this.
Yeah. I think that your grandmother and your aunt would honor you greatly because of this decision that you're making, Jason. So thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. We believe that baptism is a saying yes to God. I want to follow God's ways. I want to follow Jesus's ways with my life. And that's what Jason is declaring today. So in baptism, you are laid down and all the sin and stuff that has been caught up around you will be kept in the water where it belongs. And in baptism, Jeff isn't going to raise you up. I'm not going to raise you up. God's Spirit will raise you up to a brand new life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what happens here today, and what a gift and a miracle it is. So we want to ask you, Jason, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and do you want to follow Jesus with your life?
Yeah, yes.
And we say amen to that. Thank you. So Jason, we want to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Will you be raised to a new life unlike any other? So let's do that now. You can turn toward me. Yep, spin this way. All right, just remember. First of all,
how about my arms?
Yeah, those will go under too. Yeah, do you want to leave them at their side or do you want to put them up on your chest?
What do you think God wants me to do?
I think either way is okay. How about you just put them up on your chest and we'll take care of the problem.
Okay,
here we go. Thank you.
From whom all blessings flow, praise Him, all creatures here below, praise Him above ye heavenly hosts, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Thank you. We can love this way, Jason.
Yes.
Even though I was raised in a family that was at our church every time the doors were open, I do not consider worship service the place where I was transformed. I was transformed over time at the dinner table. That's where my family gathered. And we shaped one another, but we did so in faith, and God worked through that. And I think that's one of the reasons we're here sharing a meal. I think God realizes that that is where family is formed, and you were transformed. I think we've done a disservice by trivializing the size of the meal to its barest essence. I wish we would celebrate. We never skimped at our table. I don't know about you. But we were always blessed and enjoyed the blessings of God. So anyway, I will pray now as we, and then we'll ask for the usual volunteers to come up and help us pass. Let's pray. Dear Father, it's a blessed morning as we have gathered here. We now leave with the opportunity to help shape two new lives into your church and into your will and kingdom. Father, we're grateful for these occurrences among us. Father, may we recognize your hand in it, and Father, may we be your hands as we continue to serve them and journey to the higher ground with Jesus. Father, may you bless this bread and cup as Jesus blessed it on the night of his before his death. Father, we pray these things in his name. Amen.
Now we have the opportunity for us to give back to God just a portion of what he has given to us. Also, if you've had any of those cards that you've signed, this is a good time to get those together and put them in the plate as we pass them by. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for all that we have. Bless what we give back to you so it be used for your purposes. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen.
I have said multiple times before that one of my favorite things that we get to do as a church is when you come up to get as close as you can to the action in the baptistry. So thank you again for doing that. What a gift that was for today. All right, a couple of family matters to share with you. We'll talk more about these in the weeks to come, but we have Impact Meal coming up on March 19th. The UH Fundraising Gala is on March 7th. Hopefully we can talk about, Steve, were you gonna be gone next week? Are you gonna be gone 2 weeks from now? I'm just thinking about when to speak about this further. Do you wanna say something right now? Okay.
We had a dear friend die in Arkansas, and so we will be up there next Sunday. Our involvement with the UH goes back to the beginning, really, because it was the Central Church that gave money to start the A.D. Bruce Religion Center at the University of Houston. I don't know how many years ago, that's probably been 60 by now. And so we have been involved in the UH work for ages. We have a barbecue roundup planned for March the 7th. I'm recovering from COVID, sorry. This will be a barbecue. We have a prize for the best Western costume or outfit. I'll be glad to provide tickets for anybody who wants to come, but we need to know you're coming. So it's an RSVP dinner. It's to inform you about what all is going on campus and to help raise money to make that ministry successful and continue. So just give me a call, see me today or call me and let me know you'd like to come.
Thank you, Steve. Also, a couple weeks from now, Sunny Glen Children's Home is coming by to get several supplies. You can see those up there. They should also be in your bulletin. Thursday Bible class continues this week, 10:30 on Thursday in person and on Zoom. King can connect you on Zoom. And of course, we have our Wednesday night prayer gathering here in the church building, 7 o'clock, if you would like to be a part of that. We do have classes all over this building. If you want to be a part of one of those, immediately after we dismiss from here, you can see those up on the screen. Two other things. Last week, during my sermon, I talked at length about how our friend and brother Antonio, who is our person who takes care of our maintenance here in this building, his congregation and our congregation are in conversation about sharing space on this campus, and you can go back and listen to all that. If you were absent last Sunday, you can find that on our Facebook page or our church website. We wrote church articles about it in our newsletter. You can learn more information about that way. I say that to say, other conversations are happening this week, and would you please be in prayer for this potential opportunity that we have before us? That would be great. I mentioned during my sermon that Lent begins, it actually begins this upcoming Wednesday with Ash Wednesday. We talk about 40 days of Lent, 40 days of fasting leading up to Easter. I have put together a full, incomplete list of Lent resources for this year. There are a bunch of them on that table in the back. If you want to be a part of some kind of discipline during the Lenten season, this is a great way to get you started with things to read, devotionals to do, practices for families, also things like 40-day practices where you give 40 items of something to someone, like 40 food items to our breadbasket, or 40 bars of soap to our breadbasket, or stuff to Braise Interfaith Ministry, or different organizations that we partner with, like Hospitality Apartments, for example. You can check out this list and see if there's anything that that appeals to you. And of course, you can come up with your own. Those are on the back table. It's been a great day. Thank you for letting us bless your child. Jason, thanks for letting us, being baptized today and letting the church be a part of that with you. All right, would you stand, please? Would you receive this benediction? This is back where we began with Psalm 99. Would you receive this again and hear it again, or hear it with fresh ears? The Lord reigns. Let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. Go forth in peace and purpose.